Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in a segment right now we like to call home fries, cooking up a batch of home fries right now, talking about things that impact us because they are either legislated or led or they are leaders right here at home. I tell you somebody who's a leader in this state for conservative policy, and that's Stephanie Smith, who is the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, and she's actually on the line right now. Hey, Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. Thank you. You got big Thanksgiving coming up. I know we were talking off the air. You got all 19 of your kids are going to be there, and and then all of their hosts are coming in with them. Some of them, what are you hosting, like 93 people at your house?
Yeah, it's not quite that many, but you know, our normal family dinner is 10, and so you know, at doubling and a half is probably about where we'll end up. But we ended up being kind of the Thanksgiving catch-all house for, you know, friends, family members, extended family members, random exchange students, and we kind of like it that way. You know, we just kind of open up our house. I'm used to cooking, you know, a big spread, and so we just make all the food in the house and play football and watch football and talk about what we're thankful for, and it's usually a really fun time.
What time should Charlene and I be there? Like around what? Like
you are welcome to come unless y'all are going on an anniversary trip. You are more than welcome to come.
You may have heard me say then, this is my anniversary. Did you hear me say that earlier? This is
I did.
Today,
I did.
38 years.
Yes, and best wishes to you.
Thank you.
For Charlene. Really putting up with the Phil Williams for that many years. It's impressive work.
That is impressive. That's like a superpower. All right, hey, let's talk about some home fry stuff. One of the things that you and I have seen time and time and time again is sometimes we refer to it as zombie legislation. There's always something gambling that seems to rear its ugly head every year or two, sometimes consecutive years. And I'm smelling it in the air again. There's strange things afoot, not the least of which, though, is the Porch Creeks have just announced they're purchasing some property in Birmingham from an existing gambling interest. What do you know?
Right. Yeah, so that was not a big, huge surprise, just that they made it public. It was one of those, you know, kind of secrets that everybody talked about, but that was possibly in the works. Got put on hold while the latest iteration of the omnibus gambling bill was debated last year. And so there was always discussion about the Porch Creek Indians wanting something in North Alabama and then also wanting something near a highway in or downtown in Birmingham. And so what it looks like to me is that I don't blame them for this at all because they're trying to operate a business, whether or not I agree with the business or not. But they're trying to position themselves, to be the organization and the entity in the state that commands that business. And so they're wanting these additional locations. The trouble with that, from my perspective, is not specifically negative toward the Porch Creek Indians specifically. But the idea that they're going to buy up, you know, the Mobile Race Course and the Birmingham Race Course, and then, you know, there's a possibility that they will ask the Department of Interior to make those into tribal lands. That sounds absurd, obviously, to normal people, but that's exactly what has happened in many other states. I mean, it just so happens that the Seminoles have tribal land basically everywhere there's a Hard Rock Cafe in the state of Florida. And so it's amazing how that has transpired. But what is clear to me is that regardless of our Constitution, regardless of our laws, regardless of what the legislature does, the Porch Creek Indians are dead set on expanding gambling as much as they can in the state of Alabama, and that's what this latest move is.
Well, and they have always been a player, them with some of the others, like the McGregor family. Milton McGregor was next to the Teachers Union, was probably one of the biggest influencers in the wrong direction of state politics for years, for decades. But that being said, there's always talk. The Porch Creeks have a different path. If they can get it, they can get what's called a compact with the governor, almost like a treaty or an agreement with the governor that allows them to do more. And the governor, I remember researching this before as a senator, the governor can potentially do this with a stroke of her own pen. But there's always talk then about, well, we got to do gambling omnibus legislation because we can't be unfair to the McGregors and all the others. And so, so tell me what you smell in the wind right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that Governor Ivey could sign a compact. You know, the Indian tribe is a sovereign nation. It's considered a sovereign nation within our borders. So they have completely different rules than other businesses. Now, this purchase or proposed purchase for the Birmingham Racecourse, until their rules change by petitioning the federal government, they would have to pay taxes. They would have to, you know, have law enforcement on site, you know, just like the Birmingham Racecourse, that kind of thing. So they would only be able to expand in the direction that the Birmingham Racecourse would have been able to expand.
Okay. All right.
The only difference here is that digital betting changes things a lot. And then also, you know, they could petition to make that tribal land. And if it's tribal land, then they're allowed to do slightly more, you know, than the run-of-the-mill operators in the state. So the frustrating thing is I met with some of the folks that are already dealing with homelessness and sex trafficking and addiction problems over in that area, and they are highly frustrated, especially with the thought process of having, you know, a casino with a hotel attached, because that is where a lot of the sex trafficking and human trafficking happens.
Absolutely.
In relation to casinos. And depending on which study you read, human trafficking goes up by 15 to 25% when there is a casino with a hotel attached to it in an area.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and that whole I-20 corridor that cuts through Birmingham is considered to be one of the human trafficking corridors in the nation, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 7,000 acres. There's plenty of room for them to expand. As you know, they have, you know, locations worldwide. They have a casino and hotels in Aruba, amongst other places, and they're opening them all the time. So they have a formula that they think works, and I think that it looks like they're going to try that, at least in Birmingham, if not in some of their other locations where they own land in the state of Alabama as well.
Well, I think that one of the things that's going to be impactful in terms of, you know, whether we see legislation, because that discussion right there was really about what the Porch Creeks themselves are trying to do and whether they can have a compact to do it without having a need for going through the legislative process. But the legislative process is a big, hairy deal. The legislation that we constantly say, like some of the worst legislation I have ever seen in terms of everything the Republicans say they should not stand for, has had the gambling interest attached to it. I mean, I'm talking about the last run was things like monopolization, government picking winners and losers, growing government in the process, raising taxes. There was even a question of whether it infringed upon civil liberties by the way it was set up, setting up their own law enforcement for self-governance instead of having outside accountability. I mean, it was just nuts.
Right. It was nuts. And there are plenty of reasons to be against gambling. From any direction, there's a moral question. It's going to increase government coming and going, meaning you have to set up a structure in order to administer it, and then by putting more money into state government, we're not going to all of a sudden have fewer taxes because there's more money being pumped into state government. They're just going to spend more, so it grows government. And then you have the corruption. The corruption is what really, frankly, got to me about this last iteration of bills, because they started with having two separate commissions, gambling commissions that were completely unaccountable, and they were able to actually be actively participating in gambling or own parts of gambling operations while regulating those same operations.
Yeah.
So that's just untenable.
Talk about a lack of objectivity.
It was really one of those bills, you read it and you were like, I really feel like, you know, just kind of every pro gambler person within 100-mile radius got together one Friday night and just wrote, like, what if we could get this passed? And that's what the bill said.
Now, Stephanie, you know full well that the legislature wrote that bill themselves because they wrote it to be good government. That's what it was. It wasn't the outside interest writing their own bills.
Well, of course not. That would never happen in the state of Alabama.
Never happens. Well, listen, all right, that's coming. I know it's coming. But let me ask you this. Can you hang on during
a
break?
We're always ready.
Yeah, and we should be.
Sure.
Head on a swivel because it's coming. But can you hang on during a break? Because I want to come back and talk about leadership because that can also impact the overall issues. Is that good?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're hanging on right now. We're doing a batch of home fries with our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. And listen, you may want to know that aside from the fact that governor and lieutenant governor are up for re-election, along with legislative members, we also have an internal leadership position going on that's pretty big and hairy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. So I'm back on the phone right now with Stephanie Smith, the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. All right, so Steph, you and I both know that sometimes the positions of leadership, those are as much gatekeepers and, for that matter, soul crushers when it comes to good and bad legislation getting through. And right now we got a power struggle going on. Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed, who has served in the legislature since 2010, or has basically announced he is leaving the legislative process, the Senate altogether, is going to be taking on a new role in the restyled Department of Labor. He's going to be the Department of Workforce Director, I guess a cabinet level position for Governor Ivey, opening up the position for Pro Tem. And they're duking it out right now. Senator Garland Gudger from Coleman and Senator Steve Livingston from up yonder in Jackson County. What are you hearing? Because I thought there was going to be a vote last week, and then they realized nobody had the votes.
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of things at play. Again, with the kind of worst-kept secret, people have been talking about this for months as a possibility. But then it became public, just recently just prior to their already scheduled caucus meeting. I think there were a handful of senators that were not inclined to vote on Tuesday, regardless of the situation. Wanted to hear directly from Greg Reed, wanted to hear, kind of timing issues, that kind of thing. And then, better than most. I mean, the Senate, a lot of times, operates a little bit like a fraternity. They want to get together. They want to see each other in person. And so I think that's part of why they didn't take a vote. And I also think that much like everything else in the Alabama legislature, people are jockeying for position, not just that position. And there's probably also, relationships that come into play, hurt feelings from last legislative session, back to the gambling situation. And then also, there's always a little bit of horse trading because, there's a pecking order in the Senate as far as leadership goes. And that's not just the pro tem and the majority leader, but, the major committees are in play, usually at the beginning of a quadrennium instead of halfway through. So we're halfway through and whatever, lands for this, they'll have to get in line for this situation, whoever, becomes the leader for the next 2 years, but possibly at least for the next 6 years, because once that pro tem spot is taken and the majority leader spot is either, taken or retained, you have to have enough votes to remove that person.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a firing or a removal for cause. And so that rarely happens. It's usually somebody steps down or steps aside or doesn't come back from reelection or doesn't run. So we're really talking about who's going to lead the Senate probably at least for the next 6 years or longer.
So, I agree. And the interesting dynamic here, too, is that as conservative as a state that we are, generally speaking, our legislature has become, I would say, more moderate in recent years. Mm-hmm. And Right now, you're looking at the two guys that are vying, the only two that have thrown their name in that are vying for the position of pro tem of the Alabama Senate. I know that both of them were pro gambling, if I recall. And then I know for a fact that Garland Gudger, he voted against the school choice bill, didn't he?
He did. He was the only Republican who voted against that bill.
And what was his, what were his grounds for voting against the school choice bill? Because that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, I agree. And, you know, that was one of our big issues. But
right.
He said that his superintendents were very strong and did not, you know, didn't want him to vote for that bill. So he listened to, you know, the educators in his district and voted against it. Surely, I mean, I assume he knew that it was going to pass because it wasn't close. It wasn't, it wasn't a close vote. It's interesting. A couple of things procedurally. One is that because of the caucus rules, the current majority leader is Steve Livingston. So if Garland Gudger won the pro tem spot, then Steve Livingston would retain the majority leader spot unless he was removed. So you have that situation. And then if Steve Livingston moved up into the pro tem spot, then it would be an open race for that majority leader spot. And so the domino effect of a leadership change really will only occur if Steve Livingston moves up into that spot.
Well, and I can tell you, I mean, and we're about to run out of time here, but I can just tell you from firsthand experience that it's amazing how much clout those positions can hold if the personality holding the position wants to wield it. Those are the ones, right. Those are the positions that's the person who assigns the committee chairmanships. That's the person who can also make a difference in your ability to run for your reelection later on and all those kinds of things. It's also part of the gatekeeping process for bringing bills to the floor because there's an ad hoc participation in the committee process almost across the board for a pro tem. You know, nominations, confirmations, all of them wind up having the pro tem's hands on it. All said and done, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's all inside baseball, but it will have actual real effects on the state.
Yeah, it will.
Because it's setting the tone and it's setting up that leadership for not just this year, but for some years to come. So it's definitely something to watch and to see which direction the Senate decides to go.
More to come on it, and we are out of time right now. But Stephanie Smith, in case we don't talk again before then, to all of you and yours, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. And you too. Tell Charlene I said hey.
I will do it. Thank you, my friend. All right. That was Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, talking with us about two big, big issues. You're going to hear a lot about it in the next few months, really maybe in the next few weeks. Who's going to be the next pro tem of the Alabama State Senate? Because that will determine sometimes whether you pay more taxes or have gambling or school choice things or whatever. And then, oh, by the way, is gambling going to rear its ugly head again? And then just take up all the time in our legislative process and keep good bills from coming to the floor. You betcha. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.